The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library, where we discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 6. And I'm Chris Lorenz. Sitting to my left is...
Maxter Domus.
Sitting to his left...
Harrison Hoffman.
And our 24 historian, back this week...
Robert Kitts.
Welcome
Professor
back, guys.
Robert Kitts.
It's good to be back.
We missed you guys. It was lonely here. Me and Max together. That was a lonely episode.
You did a great job holding down the fort, though.
We tried. I was the Amira to his Hassan.
Excellent pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some weak 24 episodes. Episodes 3 through, five. Some rough episodes out there.
There's a correlation now that lack of Harrison leads to worse 24 episodes.
I think so. I watched all of the episodes for when I was gone yesterday during the day, and it was It was a little bit of a slog to get through, I'm not going
to
lie.
You probably should have just listened to our podcast, because we explained what happens.
Yeah, no. I mean, that would probably been better in retrospect, but is what it is. 24 Legacy, huh?
It's definitely the legacy of 24. They're just replaying all of what 24 was, the good and bad.
Playing all the hits.
I feel like there's a lot more storylines this 24. Rob, can you corroborate? That's the word I was looking for.
We're a couple things in.
What's our drink of the week, Max?
Today's drink of the week is Russell's 10-year Kentucky bourbon, chosen because it is not Jack.
So basically, this is just a podcast where we have a different kind of whiskey every week now. Is pretty much this, right?
It seems to be a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, this season sure. At least is not Jack.
I mean, pretty soon we're going to start getting some whiskey enthusiasts listening to this thing. Should we comment on the quality of the beverage?
Go for it.
It's okay. Quite boozy.
Should we smell it?
It's got a hint of oak.
It is a bit oaky. I'm getting a little bit of oak.
It's got a hint of alcohol.
Let's see what it tastes like.
I mean, I'm sure this is better than last week's drink of the week.
That tastes like whiskey.
What I'll tell you is it's not very smooth.
Definitely hot.
Definitely has a warm sensation on your tongue.
How does it compare to last week's drink, Max?
Last week's drink, if I remember, was quite salty. It was the tears of 24 fans. So definitely doing better.
Speaking of the tears of 24 fans, did we actually have a decent episode this week?
I mean, there were things that happened this week that I've been waiting to kind of pay off for the whole season. So that was good for that.
Some storylines have hit their high notes, and some storylines have ended.
Some storylines have merged into other storylines.
They definitely seem to feel this week that they were like, and like you guys talked about last week, they're like, oh my God, they must realize these plot lines aren't working. What are they going to do? And they were just clearing things off the board this week. Like, we got to reset the deck and start anew.
Well, so do you think that they were getting through production and they're realizing that these storylines aren't working and they had to write their way out of it? Or do you think that like this is just the plan the whole time?
I always like to imagine when they suddenly shift plot lines that they were just like, oh my God, what do we do?
Well, it is halfway through the season, and I feel like they always try to do something halfway through that's somewhat shocking, so it's like not...
We're halfway through the season and barely anything's happened in this show, by the way.
No, we realize that. We've been talking about it.
Like, the first real thing happened
episode. Something actually happened this week. But there's definitely seasons of 24, like episode one, where nothing... Season one, where like nothing happened for like more episodes than six.
I always kind of, and again, like, I don't know if this is true or not. I always kind of assumed when they would randomly switch plot lines, it was because they weren't sure what to do with them anymore. And I always go back to the Wayne Palmer season when they have present Wayne Palmer and Dr. Bashir from Deep Space Nine. And then all of a sudden they have some random explosion and they're like, hey, here's a whole bunch of different characters in the White House we're going to talk about now, and never explain what happened to anyone else. I'm just like, they just were like, this sucks. We need to do something.
I'm going to be honest. I like the Wayne Palmer season. I think he was a good president.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not. It's been quite a few years.
I mean, I can't remember about the quality of the season, but I don't know how Wayne Palmer got elected to be president of the country.
I know exactly how Wayne Palmer worked.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about presidents on the show.
Sure, we are.
On this podcast.
So on the David Palmer Presidential Library, we can't talk about.
We can talk about, David Palmer's brother.
We can talk about good presidents.
We can talk about fake presidents.
So after the death of David Palmer, as U.S. constitutional law goes, his brother Arnold Palmer was elected. After his death, then Wayne Palmer came in.
It's as good a theory as any.
All right, so should we get into the meat of some of this episode?
Let's do it.
Which storyline do we want to start with?
I guess I feel like we could get rid of The Wire pretty easily here.
Sure, just knock it off.
In The Wire, Nicole is going to get picked up by CTU. And what's the brother's name again?
Isaac.
Isaac doesn't want her to go because Isaac's still in love with Nicole, obviously. And as Nicole goes out into the car, they get ambushed by a gang of terrorists.
And driving
not the main gang.
Driving some real 70s looking van.
A separate
Ford Econoline.
You left out one point before the terrorists showed up that Nicole was giving Isaac the bedroom eyes back. And that's
going
to be important.
It's true. There's
the
some sexual tension going on between them.
I mean, no question there.
And was it one episode or two episodes ago where he basically punched her in the face? And now she's giving him the bedroom eyes.
This is one of the key things about 24 is like, you know, we've had a week between the episodes and these people have had like 10 minutes between them. And yeah. It's like, if this was 10 minutes ago, she'd be running. But like, since it's been a week between, like we've been watching these, we forget like what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, wasn't Isaac shot too? Like, he seemed like he was hurt.
I don't think
van.
He got shot.
I don't know if he was shot. He was hit by a van. I feel like that might be enough.
that van, yeah.
He was shot by a van-sized bullet.
The van wasn't even trying to hit him. The van wasn't even trying to hit him. It was just kind of like drifting to a halt and kind of got clipped by the back of the van. Like,
can we talk about how bad the Wire gang was at protecting their home turf?
Oh, okay. First up, like, I'm pretty sure we talked about this, or I mentioned it in, I think, the first episode of the podcast for the season, where I'm like, I am waiting for the showdown between, like, Isaac and his gang and the fucking terrorists. Because, like, I'm like, this is going to be the best thing ever if this happens. And it kind of started to happen for a minute there, where, like, basically, as Nicole and Isaac are being kidnapped in this, you know, Ford Econoline van, people are just coming out of their houses with handguns just shooting. Everyone's just coming out shooting at the van because they realize they're taking this dude.
And as you predicted, it was one of the best things of the season.
It was so ridiculous because, you know, they, like, the guys shooting clearly had no idea what was going on and were just rolling out, just guns blazing.
Oh, and the best part was when the terrorist guy bangs on the back of the door and then the other guy comes out with this big, just like a regular machine gun.
Yeah.
It was like, was he supposed to go out with like a huge gun? Like what?
No, but like he busted out with that machine gun. I mean, like,
just your average standard issue giant fucking machine gun.
Yeah, it's this huge machine gun that he started mowing a bunch of dudes down with.
Unlike every other machine gun bad guys use, he was just incredibly accurate.
Yeah, he shot people.
He took like a swarm and just took everybody down.
Yeah. He definitely been practicing. There's no question.
Like on paper and like in our minds, this is a great scene. It just was not filmed very well. Like this whole season just has
I think
been
it
like,
could it could have been better.
Everything in the season could have been filmed better.
You know, like it's really a shame that they didn't set up some kind of like second in command guy to Isaac, because I think that they really took like the gang, like Isaac's gang, coming to rescue them from the terrorists off the table by having no characters that you know who they are left there. No,
you know who's going to lead the gang.
Aisha? Aisha is going to lead the gang.
Oh, man. My God.
Because, I don't know. I mean,
Aisha is out of the show. She is not coming back.
She said if Isaac was gone, there wouldn't be too many tears.
Are they setting up The Wire season two?
Like, I mean, it was... I wish that gang was a little bit more involved.
Do you
I think it'd
be
cool.
The gang is gonna come back, or the gang is just out of the show.
I think the gang's out of the show at this point.
Yep.
But yeah, they're done with The Wire. They're like.
But
that's
I am
gone.
Glad that they didn't leave Isaac behind, because I think that like the dude that plays Isaac is like one of the best actors in this show. Yeah. I think like he's pretty good.
He's up there. I thought the female from Insanity Homeschool
was good.
Pretty good actor.
Yeah.
Eric is not a very good actor,
unfortunately.
He's not terrible. He just doesn't have that much to work with.
It's true. The writing on the show is
not. There's a lot of that to do with the writing. I thought he was pretty good in Straight Outta Compton. I didn't think he was great in this so far.
You looking forward to seeing him in Kong Skull Island?
I have no idea how that's going to be.
I saw a commercial during 24 that he was in. I had no idea he was in it. I looked up. There's like a decent cast for a stupid King Kong movie. I don't get it.
Who's
like
in
the
it?
Last one made
it's
a
called
lot of money.
Money.
I guess it's money, but like
it's got
just John Goodman,
Jack Black,
Loki, no.
Other
Eric Carter. I need to look it up. I don't remember.
But like pretty decent.
Pretty decent. Oh, John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
He actually looks like he's entertaining in the movie, unlike everyone else. Oh, Sam Jackson.
Wow.
I'm gonna be honest. I liked the last King Kong movie.
The Jack Black one?
No, didn't they do another one?
I have no idea, dude.
Chris is convinced there is a King Kong movie that came out in roughly 2010 that nobody else can remember.
That was called Godzilla, Chris.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. It looks good. I think the movie looks good. I don't know if it'll be any. Anyway, should we get back to the actual show?
No. I want to do some... I'm a huge snob in basically everything. But especially shitty movies. There are good shitty movies like Fast 5, Fast 6, Fast 7.
Whoa, you can't say they're shitty movies.
They're good. They're really good shitty movies.
They're good movies.
They're good movies that you can just turn your brain off to.
Definitely true.
And then there are bad movies that you turn your brain off to. And I would like to announce that the Chris Lorenz here went to see Great Wall.
I like fantasy movies. I don't understand why I'm getting, you know, shamed by the Max Wittick over here.
However, in his defense, he also went to see Logan, which is a hell of a movie. You don't even turn your brain off. It's just a great movie.
Is Chris seeing The Great Wall now a recurring segment on the podcast?
What is The Great Wall? I actually haven't heard of this, really.
At CTU.
The Great Wall... is a Chinese movie where they basically paid... who plays Green Goblin in the original Spider-Man? Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
Matt Damon.
They paid Matt Damon and Willem Dafoe to be random white guys in this like weird Chinese movie where...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you.
It's like mildly racist, but self-inflicted, which is really weird.
So, Chris, how about CTU?
So, at CTU... last week we saw Eric Carter take down the what's his name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Okay.
No one cares. Okay. Gabriel died, so he is the official kill of the week last week.
Okay, so this is what I need to jump in about. So I was listening to the podcast from last week where you guys were talking about this Gabriel situation, and you inexplicably decided to name him Mufasa.
Oh, yeah.
No,
right.
That makes a ton of sense.
It doesn't make any sense
because the one with the eye is Scar and not Mufasa.
Mufasa, okay.
Thank you for bringing this up, Harrison. I had the same point.
Okay.
And like,
I had a feeling that I was wrong, but I didn't want to look it up, and I just rolled with it.
Okay.
Scar is the one.
Let's talk about The Lion King real quick. Simba's father's name is Mufasa. Mufasa is one of the most like imposing names I can think of.
100%.
It's like the lion form of Mussolini. Mufasa.
How did you call this guy? How did you think of Lion King and not Dr. Evil when the guy with the scar comes out with the bald head?
Dr. Evil is kind of adorable, and Scar is an enemy to be taken very seriously.
Also, Scar had that cloudy eye that's like that.
Yeah.
The show's eye, I think.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking of.
It's mostly the cloudy eye not the scar.
Dr. Evil has the scar, but he has a perfectly normal eye.
That's fair.
And a very well-formed pinky.
How was Gabriel's pinky?
You know, I didn't check it out.
Who is that actor that played Gabriel? He seemed like somebody I've seen like a bunch of stuff.
Jimmy Smits.
No, he just went to the
this
school.
Episode had way too little Jimmy Smits in it. In a way that last week's episode was a Jimmy Smits showcase, and this week not so much.
I feel like Jimmy Smits,
Schmitz.
Jimmy Smitty.
The kids are calling him J-Smo.
I feel like his plotline might be kind of written out too. Like his plotline this week was really weak. As you said, I don't know where it goes from here.
Well, here's the thing. If his plotline goes nowhere, then there was really no point to any of this shit with him.
Exactly. Because this is all a lead up to Tony.
That's why this, like, the center dude has something else going on, because like they wouldn't just write that whole plotline. There's literally no point to it.
Was there a point to The Wire?
The point to The Wire was like for it to end in those two people being kidnapped, and they need all this stuff to happen before that so that they became closer before they got kidnapped.
So right? They could bang while they're kidnapped?
Yeah, but no, so that there's some kind of relationship there, and it isn't just like this, like, oh, I'm seeing you for the first time in a decade look, you know?
Well, maybe the senator plotline was all set up so that the Iranian, whatever her name is, has a relationship with the senator.
Neela,
yeah. So that they can start banging, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like there's some chemistry there.
I'm definitely interested to see where it goes because, especially last week, Jimmy Smits was delivering some big-time lines to that House of Cards guy. Like, it was pretty crazy.
It's just like that movie, Deliverance.
Jimmy Smits was definitely, you know, trying his acting A game last week. And this week he basically just like was mad at his dad again and then said he was going to resign.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I don't know. We've probably discussed this on the podcast, but between the actor Jimmy Smits and the actor Jimmy Smits' dad, how many years do you think there are between them?
Like in terms of actual age of the actors?
Yes.
Didn't we already discuss this?
Yes. Just a quick reminder.
I feel like one was like 50 and one was like 60.
Yeah.
Like they were like 10 years apart.
They're only 10 years apart?
60 and 69. Nice.
Wow. That means that Jimmy Smits is real old then.
He's looking great for his age.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Do you think he's actually going to resign though?
I think he's absolutely not going to resign. And that some kind of situation is going to cause Jimmy Smits to be the hero of this whole thing.
I think maybe something happens and he takes credit for being the hero.
No, I mean,
but he's not actually the hero.
He kind of ends up like publicly in a good spot, and it's good for the campaign, I think, at the end of this thing.
So then next season he can be president.
Exactly. Because you want Smits
but
behind
we,
that
do
desk.
Do we have another David Palmer situation where he doesn't want to come back and they just kill him like in the first 2 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the risk you take when you bet on someone like Smits, like that they're not going to want to come back.
We got to find out what kind of contract they got him into. Is he like got the, you know, 1 year and out star option, or is he like they locked him into like a 7 year commitment?
Yeah.
There is no way 24 Legacy's going on for 7 years.
But I think it's like a standard thing that they just sign people to 7 year contracts and the show's canceled after 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's basically like, hey, if we decide to make more of this, then you have to be in it kind of thing.
I think he's too famous for that kind of contract.
Probably.
I don't really know what Jimmy Smits has been doing lately. Like, you know, he had that cameo in Star
Acting
Wars.
His ass off on 24 Legacy.
Besides that.
Yeah, not a lot.
I bet he guest stars in a lot of TV shows we don't watch. Anyway, Gabriel was...
I bet he's on all those shows on CBS all the time. Like, he's in all those shows.
Definitely.
Well, this is on Fox, though.
I know, but he's just in all those, like, crime procedurals, like, on CBS.
There aren't
CBS.
That many of those anymore.
Really? What about, like, Person of Interest? Like, it's, what about like, it's, like, all that shit.
What about APB? What about...
Maybe I'm wrong.
CSI. What about...
CSI's not on
anymore.
What
about NCIS? What about... CSI Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
So Gabriel, the actor, is named Andrew Howard, and his known for is The Limitless Movie, one of the Transformers movies, and I Spit on Your Grave.
I totally know him from Limitless. He's like that thug dude in Limitless, right?
Sure.
Anyway.
All right, so CTU... they find all the passports of the terrorists on the computer for some reason. I don't know why they were there. And they find it the same addresses on all these passports. They're like, let's get the gang together and go get these terrorists at this place. But on the way, the story of the... the break-in hits the news and alerts the terrorists. So by the time they get there, the terrorists are gone. Meanwhile, Eric really wants to be on this mission. And they're like, you're not a CTU agent. You can't be on the mission. And the CTU head guy was like, I like you. You can be on the mission for no reason. Didn't train with anyone. And they're trying to do coordinated events. Doesn't make any sense.
It's so apparent that Eric Carter should not be there once the operation's in progress. Like before I was kind of like, okay, sure, he'll tag along. But then once you see those guys starting to operate, you're like, he should not be here. He's never trained with these people at all.
Yeah, they're like, do a room sweep operation. I'm like, yo, Eric, get in there. What are you doing?
You don't know? You know the hand signals?
Yeah, it's just
he definitely knows all the hand signals. He took out Bin Laden, too.
I don't know if the Army Rangers has the same hand signals as CTU.
No, it's totally standardized.
Is it?
Yeah. You've never taken Army Ranger school? Yeah. Never played America's Army?
No.
World Police?
Here's the thing about Eric. Like, if that really happened, Eric is arrested and being sent to CTU for stealing the plans. Because his plan... was so bad of how they were going to, like, capture Gabriel. And partly evidenced by the fact that it didn't work because Gabriel's dead. Like,
and
it's,
Ben.
It's so ridiculous that they let him on the mission.
I want to mention again about the whole, he put a smoke bomb in the, in the computer room and took down all of CTU. Like... the fact that he had access to that room and they only had those computers is just like, I still can't believe that they played that plot line. Like, that doesn't make
it's
any
so
sense.
But like the Eric on the mission thing goes back to like the fact that the writers have a problem with that. They're like trying to write him like Jack Bauer, and Jack Bauer would pull garbage like this all the time where he does treasonous things. And he's like, well, now I got to lead this mission. Right. And they're like, yeah, he's Jack Bauer. He used to be head of CTU. He saved the world like 4 times. Okay. There's kind of a history there that
there's
you can
a track record.
There's sure. a track record you can kind of buy why they're letting Jack keep doing stuff, even though he's done things you think he shouldn't. Eric Carter, no one cares about Eric Carter. He's definitely going to jail.
It's kind of like they're trying to show.
Is that where he meets Tony?
Could be. I mean, it's definitely like they're trying to show. It's like, hey, like. This is how, like, a Jack Bauer could have gotten his start. And, like, this is maybe the way that he would have acted. But, like, the problem is that he's acting like Jack Bauer with, you know, 20 years of agency experience, like, and not, like some scrub who's trying to make the team.
Like, I can buy that he is a Jack Bauer caliber person. No one should be treating him with Jack Bauer level respect yet, because they don't know who this guy is.
Well, so Jack Bauer didn't get a lot of respect till like season 3. He didn't start acting like crazy.
He didn't, but he started pulling these moves till season 3 either. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He was also like the director of CTU at that point. Like, that's a pretty good position, I think.
I feel like the director of CTU isn't going out on field ops.
With yeah. Jack Bauer, though. You don't take no for an answer.
But the other thing about Eric is like he did kill aka Bin Laden, in this like universe. So like, I feel like you get some amount of respect for that.
I don't know. I don't buy it. Do we need to talk about the fact that all the terrorists had their actual location on their passports?
Oh yes, let's talk about that.
I don't know what you're going to say about
this. This whole operation, I mean, there's not a lot to say. This whole operation seems very carefully planned in like 15 different sleeper cells with, as we've seen, very intricate plans. And like, then you have to smuggle these guys in the country and you have to put an address in the passport. And for some reason, you decide to run your entire terrorist operation from the address on the passport that you know the government can look up.
Well,
and that's it. Like, why would you do that?
The government, I don't know if the government can look them up. I don't know. They were just, you know, you stamp them at the, like, when they come in for, in the livestock customs. But I don't know.
No, but you can just register your passport to some bullshit address that doesn't exist. Or it exists, but it's boarded up or something somewhere.
Yeah, just fucking
buy
some abandoned house and have it be that and just go get another location.
Yeah, buy two abandoned houses.
Yeah.
Put one in the passport, put a different one in where your actual terrorism takes place.
Well, they clearly have more than one building.
You just have to, like, these people are so dumb. Like, they will go, like, and, like, it is a fucking miracle that that ended up being a real address where something was happening. Like, that shouldn't have been a real address where anything was happening. They shouldn't, like, and they were so quick to, like, go and rush that.
Yeah, well,
like,
they are fake passports.
Like, basically, if you're, like, if you're the terrorist, all you have to do to keep these guys busy is, it like, just rent a bunch of houses and just put an address to a different house in each house, and they'll start keep going around all the houses all day. That's all you have to do.
And super far apart from each other.
Super far. Just like, catch him in LA traffic. Catch him in LA traffic.
Frederick, Maryland, and like freaking, you know, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, just make, like, it really hard to investigate. Like, exactly.
Get them out there. Get West Virginia in there, you know.
What about Gold Bar, Washington? Nobody's going to Gold Bar.
The thing is like, the same people going to Frederick, Maryland aren't going to Gold Bar. So, like, if you put them close enough that they, like, same people. Seems, you know.
Sure, maybe.
Wasting a lot of time.
You got a game theory of this, Max. You can't just be like,
I don't know, maybe with the CTU logic, they're like, Gold Bar, that one's too crazy to be made up. That's got to be the real location.
Maybe. this great counterterrorism unit.
I got one more thing I got to hate on about this plot line, and that, so the terrorists see the news report, and they manage to get out of there before CTU rolls up. And then 5 minutes later, they show one of the split screens shows Ben Khalid sitting back in the room with the corpse of the guy he killed, even though they've already fled the scene and CTU's there.
That was definitely just
continuity
error with I mean, it sucks.
It's just another sign of like the 24 budget and the editing is just not up to par.
Should we talk about another sign of the limited 24 budget?
Sure.
Well,
or should we save that one?
I think we got to save that one.
What other plot line?
There's one plot line that included some things that showed the poor budgets coming up. But.
Well, so have we covered Jimmy Smith's?
We did cover Jimmy
at
Smith.
Length.
No, I just wanted to make sure that, like, we're done with the Jimmy Smiths. So far, we've covered basically Eric Carter, CTU, Jimmy Smith's wire, sort of terrorists.
I guess we didn't cover Andy and Rebecca and whatever's going on with them, which is really nothing this episode, except Andy and what's the field guy's name?
Who knows?
Andy and
Rob?
Field guy.
Isn't it Rob?
No, it's like Chase or some weird
Chase.
It's not Chase, but it's something Chase. Like that.
We're going with Chase. So Andy and Chase have a really funny passive aggressive convo on the phone.
Oh, that was.
And then Chase is talking to Eric in the van on the way over, and Chase is 100% hitting on Eric.
Oh yeah,
in that van,
calling that out during the episode.
Yeah,
and then, you know, Eric was like manpowering his way into the mission, and I'm like, you think that's a turn on for Chase? That's definitely a turn off for
it's
Chase.
It's definitely like Chase is on the rebound from like Andy, who's, you know, a little like nerdy and quiet and stuff, and now he sees like, you know, Eric taking charge and stuff, and he's just like, this is what I need.
Most unnecessary side plot. Most unnecessary side plot.
Yeah, so I guess we got Insanity High left.
Insanity High.
Insanity Homeschool. Insanity Homelands.
Insanity Homeland. That's what's got to be.
So I guess we have... Oh, I don't know anyone's name tonight.
So
Amira?
Amira's
Hassan?
Hassan?
Professor Insanity?
And Papa...
Papa Czech Republic?
I like that Professor Insanity has a different name on this podcast every week.
Oh, man.
What was it last week?
Professor Science.
Professor Science.
He's been Professor Insanity before.
No, he was Mr. Insanity.
I feel like Professor Insanity is more appropriate.
Yep.
He's definitely not a professor.
Fair.
So Amira is...
But he did make an on-the-fly judgment about using some chemical compounds.
They did try to keep up his science bona fide.
That was such an unnecessary detail.
He used high school science. He was great. So Amira,
set it up and then we can talk about the chemistry. Yeah.
Amira is talking to Papa Czech.
Papa Czech? You mean Papa Czech?
No. It's Papa Czech.
Okay.
And Papa Czech really doesn't want Amira to, blow herself up. And she says, fuck you. So then she helps. I can't pronounce the one guy's name.
Hassan.
Finalizing the barrels for their bomb while Professor Insanity comes with the final ingredient. I don't understand why he needed this small bomb when he's got barrels of chemicals. Anyway.
I'm not an expert on bomb mechanics, but I'm going to go with the fact this was some kind of trigger mechanism for the bigger bomb.
Seemed like an igniter
but
trigger.
They had all like the cords that connected all of the bombs together.
Saying it makes sense. That's what I'm going with.
Well, because so Professor Insanity rolls in and basically explains, he's like, hey guys, I know you wanted this one thing, but I couldn't find it. So I combined these other two chemicals and made something that's going to basically do what you want.
But it'll be more stable.
It's going to be better than the thing that you asked for, basically.
You just got to put that mercury in it.
Oh, let me go raid my cupboard. I got some mercury right there.
So he's like you have to put the mercury in it because I guess the mercury is going to make it explode when something happens.
When you hit the button.
I'm not really sure.
Why doesn't the high school teacher have some mercury? Every high school chemistry teacher has some mercury.
He does have mercury.
But he didn't bring the mercury.
Right. He just expected them to have it.
Maybe he did
No. Like, I'm sure that the mercury had been discussed previously.
He walked in with a glass bottle.
I know.
He did not have any mercury.
I understand he didn't have the mercury, but I'm sure that the mercury availability had been discussed before. That he wasn't just hoping that they had mercury to finish this thing.
Well, obviously.
That would have been an amazing end of the plot line. Just add the mercury. What?
Quick, go get a bunch of thermometers.
But yeah, Professor Insanity really came through for them.
Yeah.
Professor Insanity's facial expressions from start to finish were just next level.
I love how they're waiting to the last minute for this stuff, too. Because earlier in the season, you see shots of Mr. Professor Insanity, like, filling bottles in his science kit at, like, the school. And, like, you know, they've had 2 years to plan this thing. It's not like they need to do it at this last minute. It's just like...
Yeah. So, can we rewind for a second and talk about, like why or, like, how this professor, this quote-unquote professor of insanity... was blackmailed to help with this terrorist plot.
I don't think he's blackmailed at all. I think he just loves Amira.
Basically.
So you think that this girl was so seductive to this high school teacher that he is going to help them carry out some insane terrorist attack?
I don't think she needs to be so seductive. He's a lonely professor and just wants some love. And like, if that requires to be a radical terrorist, you know. He bit one.
So
he took one for it.
His
Ooh, boy. Are you sure that that's
his origin story?
Please tell us his origin story.
His origin story is about a year ago, he was going through a divorce with his wife because there were rumors at the school that he was sleeping with some girls. Uh-oh. And then, you know, he really wanted to get back with at them, so he slept with some girl.
And Amira?
Yeah, Amira. And, you know, the rest is history.
That is actually the backstory they gave him in one of the episodes.
So
he wants banged to a bunch of students, allegedly. His wife broke up with them. The school is like making moves to try to get rid of him because he seems not appropriate to teach there anymore. And so he's real mad at them. He came back at them by sleeping with the student and helping terrorism.
Wait, hold on.
That can't be. That he cannot be committing this insane terrorist act to get back at the school.
He said that.
When?
Are you sure that?
Episodes.
That's
what Max just said.
Are you sure that like Amira or one of these terrorist people? All right. Here's how I would write it. Like if this is happening. If I had to figure out a way to shoehorn.
The blowy in? What?
Figure out a way to shoehorn this thing in. Okay, so he has this history of sexual relations with these students, and it is not really previously known.
Allegedly.
And then Amira comes into the picture with Amira, or maybe her brother or somebody comes into the picture with some kind of evidence, or maybe the big terrorist guy, some kind of evidence that this happened, and is like, if you don't help us with this chemistry part of this terrorist thing, then we're going to tell everybody that you're sleeping with these kids.
Like
it's got to be something like that.
But they're already using the blackmail aspect on the dad.
Did they? Well, the thing is, did they even need Professor Insanity?
Barely.
Just like it could have just clearly been the two of them.
Clearly they need someone to make that last minute chemical decision.
Yeah, like it just wasn't necessary. It was only there for what? So that the other guy they killed was jealous?
They risked their exposure so much by involving that high school teacher.
And the texting that the other guy saw, like, there was CTU not, like, have texting?
There was the texting. Scanning. There was the BJs in the middle of school hours. There was a lot of things they were doing.
There was killing that kid in that science lab during school hours.
Yeah, there was blood all over the
floor.
And
then he wasn't dead, and then killing him in that hospital. That was a very complicated situation.
Yeah, I feel like CTU dropped the ball on this one.
CTU
a lot of warning
doesn't
signs.
Know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
They figured it out, though, at the very last possible minute.
All right. So, as Professor Insanity pulls Hassan's gun and points it at Hassan and tells Amira, time to leave. We gotta go. Let Hassan blow himself up with the bombs as they're already loaded in the truck. So Hassan tries to make a move. He gets shot. And then Amira stabs Professor Insanity with a screwdriver two times, once in the heart. Then Amira takes the truck and drives off. Then Papa Check calls in 911. Well, he breaks out of the chair with the cheapest duct tape apparently available and calls 911 and informs CTU that there's a terrorist attack on the George Washington Bridge.
Well, yeah, like he basically goes into the basement and sees like the carnage. Very movie scene, like display of the master plan on the wall. And he's like, oh shit, they're going for the bridge.
Yep.
Why you'd have that on the wall? Like, anyway,
just pictures of the bridge.
You know, like,
just in case you don't know what it looks like.
You know, they find your hideout at some point. It's great to point at exactly where you are.
Google Maps, MapQuest print out of the directions of the bridge.
You know, when you're making a bomb, sometimes you'd be like, wait, what am I supposed to blow up again? And you go look, like, oh, that's right.
That was it.
But like, I gotta say again, like, Professor Insanity's facial expressions, like, first when he's talking to Amira and she is like, guilt because her dad's here now, and like the face where she gives her when she's not sure, and then like they had these awesome shots of him like looking at the gun super suspiciously, then look at Hassan, then back at the gun. It was just so nuts.
I think my favorite is when him and Amira are having the discussion. And he's like, hey, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go through this. And like her brother is sitting like 5 feet away. He can hear every word they're saying. Like, hey,
and he gives him that look.
Hey,
like,
this guy, we've done enough. Fuck this guy. Let's get out of here. Like, what are you?
I heard everything you just said. Like, he gives that look. Like, you know, I heard everything. I'm gonna murder the shit out of you after this.
I can't believe he didn't just murder him right there.
I totally thought that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Maybe Hassan was the good guy all along.
What if Hassan was actually the mole, but Professor Insanity killed him too soon?
What if, man? What if?
All right. So, as you know, Amira is driving on the bridge. A CTU calls a police officer on the bridge. Hey. Go get this this truck.
I have so many problems with this scene.
It's like, hey, trying as many people off the bridge as you can, and if you see this girl driving this van, take a shot.
So he sees the van or the truck and goes and shoots directly in the windshield where she is. And then he goes around the car to see if she's actually dead.
The truck swerves and crashes inside the bridge.
All right, if you want to explain it, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that.
I'm just like, you know.
I just want to make sure people get a picture of what's going on.
I mean, just, you know, like, we're never going to get through it. It's fine. The truck swerves off to the side, still on the bridge. And the police officer goes around, knocks on the window, tries to see if she's alive. He thinks she's dead. But surprise, Amira wakes up and presses the detonator and blows up the George Washington Bridge.
That cop should have immediately checked to see if she was dead.
Immediately get rid of that
detonator. Or just double tap in that situation.
Yeah, definitely,
like,
double tap.
As soon as you know that's the right person, you've got to make sure that person is dead. That's definitely that guy's fault.
They told him to take the shot, and he didn't take the double tap shot.
Like, yeah, he was like for a second he was a big time hero because he made that move, but like that's his fault that thing blew up.
It's not all his fault.
It's gotta be. Like, he like, gotta be able to make sure.
There's a lot of cracks we already talked about that led to the situation.
Sure. Like, he shouldn't have been in that situation, but because he was, like, I don't think he got it done in the way he needed to.
Yeah.
And he died for it.
I mean,
it.
I can't, like, really fault him too much. But, you know, I don't really know if the bridge is destroyed or if there was just a giant explosion on top of the bridge.
as discussed, the CGI budget did not allow for the destruction of the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
So I have a couple. Are we allowed to nitpick the scene now?
Yes.
Yeah. I have a couple of nitpicks here. First of all, if you want to blow up that bridge, you do it from the lower level. There's two levels. There's the upper level and the lower level. Lower level, you're going to hit two surface areas. I think you're going to do a lot better.
Yeah,
pro tip.
Not going to be as good of a shot in the TV show, unfortunately.
Definitely
they
not.
They didn't have the budget to do that kind of a shot.
You need a real CGI budget if you're going to do that.
Second of all, if you are ever crossing from New Jersey to New York, that means you have to go through a toll bridge. That means either you're getting scanned with your Easy Pass, which is a little, you know, oh, you're going through the bridge, let me charge you $5. Or you're sitting at a toll booth and paying somebody $3 bills. They did not detect that she was on the bridge until she was on the bridge. And I think they could have detected that she was about to enter the bridge beforehand. Real plot hole.
Maybe this CTU doesn't have access to the Easy Pass.
I mean, dude, that's like a number one potential hittable thing. They got it.
Well, this CTU agent... place doesn't even have more than one room of computers, so
yeah.
Like, I can't really.
Did Trump revoke, like, you know, what? Funding for CTU?
Probably no.
So there's no way she was waiting in the line to pay the dude. I guarantee you, there's just either an Easy Pass or I'm blowing this truck up. It doesn't matter, and just drove through the Easy Pass lane. Like,
well, maybe.
I mean,
but no, you don't want to be like caught beforehand.
Yeah, but like getting caught between that Easy Pass scan at the beginning of the bridge and the middle of the bridge is like basically the only way you get caught is exactly what happened in that show where
that's
that dude
true.
Runs out on the bridge and shoots you.
That's a 1 minute. You're right.
I mean, it would have been nice if they could have called ahead and say, hey, shut down all these tolls and don't let anybody on the bridge.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that would have been great. But
yeah, I still don't really buy Amira's character here because she seemed very conflicted, but then she was like, gotta do it. You know,
well, I mean, gotta. Like,
she was very emotional. Her brother just died.
She saw her brother die, and he's basically like, hey, like, don't let me die in vain. Like, you got to do this thing or else all this stuff doesn't, like I'm going to die and it's going to be bad scene. Like,
yeah, know, I guess. It's tough. I don't know. She seemed like conflicted and anxious, and they tried to film it like you didn't know if she was going to go through with it or not.
Oh, yeah.
So, for I sure. mean, maybe that's why I'm like, I thought she would lean on more to not do it, but as a 24 mid-season finale here, you have to. Something's got to happen.
But there's a question. If he hadn't shot the van or truck, would she still have gone through with it?
That's the thing. Is like it was,
I think so.
Maybe she would have wheeled around and went on the underside. I think so. I mean, if she was going to do it, she's going to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was dying. So, I mean, you might as well. If you have, if you're like, am I or am I not, and you're dying, you might. That's I. Am I? She's just gonna do it.
Right. Wake up with a cop in your face, and you're like, I guess I'll press this button.
I can't believe that cop just didn't pull that trigger out of there.
Yeah, man. Like you see that thing, it's like, I think I found the detonator. Oh no! Oh no! That's rough.
So rough.
Any he, other nitpicking?
He thought
that?
They thought to admit that he'd been waiting his whole life for this moment, and this was his moment.
Yep,
and not,
quite.
So we gotta pour one out for Insanity High School / Homeschool.
Yeah,
and
it's the
done.
Best plot line. End of the line. Over.
What are we gonna do now?
The best plot line, and I think The Wire was that my second or third ranked plot line.
No. Oh. You said Senator Organa.
Oh, Senator Organa was my second one.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if he bounces back.
Yeah, there was no Senator Organa.
I was coming in hot off that Smits Fest last week when I wrote that.
I do have not a nitpick, but a fun like realization about the Insanity High storyline.
Please lighten us.
Until this episode, I thought Hassan's name was just, you know, it started with an H, Hassan. And then we see from a phone that it's actually K-H-A-S-A-N. And realize it's sort of a Hanukkah type dealio.
Hassan.
Very nice.
Now you know.
All right.
Those are the key facts that make a 24 legacy what it really is.
Yeah. So Insanity, you know, High School is definitely number one.
Always and forever.
I think Eric's plotline is number two just because most of the attention is on Eric.
Sure.
I think that the value of the terrorist plot line is skyrocketing now that Isaac and Nicole are in the mix there. That's going to be very interesting.
I'm somewhat disappointed in that plot line because now they've positioned Nicole as like a strong female, and now she's just like
a hostage,
just like she's a hostage.
Maybe we'll see some resourcefulness from her.
Yeah, if she does not get out on her own, it's going to be very disappointing.
She's a hostage. She's also working that love triangle now.
Okay, are we taking odds on Isaac having to sacrifice his life to save Nicole? Are we taking those odds yet?
Are they going to kiss? I think the odds of that happening is like 80 to 90%.
Okay, I'm with that, but 90 to 100? I'm more, are they going to kiss first?
Ooh. I think no. I think that there's no romantic situation because Isaac respects his brother too much and that Isaac sacrifices himself so they can be together. There you go.
I like that.
Hot
like
take,
that.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So that's a hot take. I got a tot take, as in tautological, as in truthful take, which is, yeah, they're going to kiss.
Okay.
And then he's going to die.
And then she's going to be super sad.
Does Nicole die? And that's what Eric says. There's nothing else in my life now. I have to devote my life to CTU.
So
that would be interesting. Like,
we've never seen a married Jack Bauer at CTU, have we?
Yes, we have.
It's been a while since I watched season one,
first
two,
season.
Three.
There were 0 seconds where Jack Bauer didn't have a wife that was alive and work at CTU.
Huh.
There you go.
Really?
The 24 historian. You can't argue.
They didn't divorce?
Divorced via gunshot to the head.
Okay. Yeah,
she died pretty... She died in season one, right?
The season one... Season one ends with Jack finding her dead.
That's right.
Shot by Nina Myers.
Nina Myers. R.I.P.
Fucking Nina.
All right, so there's one more...
I wouldn't be so sure that Nina's dead. She could still make a comeback.
Jack definitely did the double tap.
So there's one more plot line piece that I guess we could talk about. The end of the episode, Eric gets a call from the terrorists and was like, we need you to get somebody to decrypt this flash drive or we're going to slowly torture your wife and brother.
It seems like a terrible investment of time on the terrorist side.
It totally does. And I would feel a lot less for Eric if he goes through with this. Like, there's no way, there's no reasoning your way through this. There is, okay, get CTU involved and be like, they have, you know, my wife and brother.
Holy shit.
And that's it. Like, there's nothing, there's no rationale for him to do it.
I know especially what they're going to do.
What are you going to do, Max?
All right, Max.
They're going to send Andy in.
Obviously, that's what's going to happen.
Yo,
Andy.
Yo,
how did you just realize this?
Were you not watching the next time on 24 when they were showing him and Andy in some kind of standoff?
It was obvious before the next time.
It was also obvious.
No, okay. A, I covered my ears and my eyes during the next time because I don't want to.
B,
no, Andy's going to have like a redemption moment, even though he's been doing the right thing all along.
I
feel like how... Eric has been acting where like I just don't want anyone else to die. There is no way in his current character where he would do this.
I don't know, like if it's your own wife and brother maybe, but it's pretty dumb plot. But I think it's a good segue into Mole Watch because Eric is clearly going to be a mole next episode.
Yep.
He's not going to be a mole.
No?
I'm going to short that stock.
Alright.
Alright, so your mole... can he be, because he's like kind of a mole, I guess he's not a mole now, so he can be, so your official mole?
He is a mole if he starts working for the terrorists, regardless of the motivation, is that what we're saying?
Yes.
But if he tells CTU and they help him, then he's not a mole.
But if he just tells Andy and Andy's but the only one that helps him, mole.
What if he just tells Andy and Senator Organa's wife?
Senator's gonna wife is tricky.
Because
she's just trying to do the right thing.
She's the actual director of CTU, that other guy.
Yeah, I feel like
Mr. First Day is not like...
Oh yeah, now that George Washington Bridge blew up on his watch, he is donezo.
100%.
Yeah, I feel like either head of CTU knows, then I don't think he would be a mole.
Okay.
But if they get the actual names of all the other 14 terrorist cells, then maybe, like, you know, it's going to be a tough call. Dead air.
I mean, something crazy is going to have to happen for them to stop 14 more terrorist cells in the rest of this season.
Yeah. I just don't know where this plot line is going. Like, this, I mean, the show is going at this point.
One thing, I think next episode, there's going to be a bunch of, like, new things are going to try to start up.
Maybe some new cells?
Yeah. The board. Yeah, they're going to have to reset the board, I think, yeah.
Another high school.
Oh.
Whatever the terrorist cells are, they have to be insanity something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Sold.
I think it would be...
Insanity hardware store.
I think it would be really insanity interesting if there was like a companion show to this, which is just like... It's just the stories about the sleeper cells, and it's just like following those, and like there's no CT or any of that shit involved, but it's just the stories about the sleeper cells, and then at some point, like, they kind of gets folded into the main show.
What reality show would you base this off of?
Oh, man. Oof.
Doomsday
like,
Preppers?
Like Doomsday Preppers?
Like Big Brother?
The Real World.
Yeah, yeah. Big Brother. Yeah. I think it's more of an Amazing Race, maybe.
All right. As we're talking about moles, there is definitely a mole at CTU right now because somebody leaked the video of the raid.
Oh, it's the girl.
You think it's the girl?
Yeah. Little Miss Edgar.
Edgar.
I don't know. Like, I mean, It kind of seemed like to me there was just a shootout and the cops showed up and then there was just like Precious went there and covered it. It's kind of what it seemed like to me.
I'm pretty sure there's a mole.
Because like the footage they're showing on TV was like helicopter footage or something. Like it's what it looked like. I don't know.
I think that the head of the CTU, Day One.
Keith.
Mr. Day One.
Did you say Precious went there?
Precious went there?
You were talking about... Sorry.
Roll back the tape.
Let's roll back the tape. You were talking about the... Okay, actually, let's just move on.
Okay.
Thanks, Max.
Right, so I Chris, wanted to make a... Okay, just keep going. Okay.
So, Chris, your pick is Keith.
Yeah, my pick is Keith.
Max, you're staying with Miss Edgar?
Little Miss Edgar.
Harrison, what do you got?
Oh, man. It has to be someone involved in the CTU situation.
No, it could be anyone on the whole show.
It could be anyone on the whole show.
You can pick Isaac if you want.
Oh, Isaac cannot be the mole. That's me. I hope Isaac's the mole. That'd be insane. I think that I'm gonna go back to Senator Organa's campaign manager because I think there's still something going on there that's not really played out yet, and I don't know what it is. So I'm going to use her as a placeholder for that.
Is Rebecca the CTU girl?
Yeah.
No, Rebecca is...
No, she's
Mrs.
like
Organa.
Former head.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no points for everyone who picked Amira as a mole.
Max is the only one that picked Amira as a mole last week.
I mean, almost.
And almost. Anyone that picked Mr. Insanity.
Mr. Insanity.
No, he was a mole. He turned on Hassan and the plan.
But he was like, he wanted Hassan to be able to go through with the plan.
He's okay. Less of a mole and just like...
An idiot.
A creepy high school teacher who loves like just getting with high school girls so much.
Sure.
That he had to like kill that guy to do it. Is but basically what like the
I
situation.
I feel like he just really cared
is.
About Amir.
But his high school chemistry is on point.
He might
point.
Have. But there's a history
Rob's,
there.
Rob is on point about that on pointness.
yeah, like that dude was willing to literally straight kill that girl's brother so that he could have sex with that high school girl. Like that's all that is.
That's all that is. You know, some
I
people.
Feel like they've already had sex and he just cares about her. And likes the sex.
He definitely
yeah,
likes
I
the
mean,
sex.
That's
let
part
me
of
you.
It.
Classic
sure.
Mr. Insanity.
But without, do you think Amira would still be in this relationship without the need for the blackmail?
Oh, no.
See? No. Like, I don't think it works.
It definitely
doesn't,
it doesn't work.
That's why he's delusional. Only one. That's why he's Mr. Insanity.
I'm sorry. I was writing down people's moles.
Only one person on the whole planet thinks this is a good idea, and his name is Professor Insanity.
100%.
I guess we have a Tony watch. When do you think Tony is going to enter the season?
What did I say last episode?
I think you said episode 7. I've been keeping
so track. This is episode 5.
This was six. Episode 6.
I'm not convinced on that, because Hulu was at 4.
Hulu had 5.
Okay, this is episode 6. So we are 6/10 of the way through the season.
There's 12 episodes.
We are 5/10 of the way through the season. Or 6/12, depending on how you measure. I say episode 7. Doubling down.
He's doubling down.
I was all in that, like, so they showed the bridge exploding and there was one commercial break left. And I was all in, like, oh, now's the Tony reveal. Insanity High School's done. Tony's in, and I was waiting for it, and then I turned to Harrison and was like, something's happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it didn't happen.
I have an insane
they
theory.
They totally blew the end of this episode. Yeah.
I think it's still episode 8.
Okay.
I think episode 7 sets a bunch of stuff, and then it sets up the reason to get Tony out.
I think that it's going to be the episode 7 cliffhanger.
So
I think
next week. We're 1 week away.
I think they're going to spend 44 minutes setting up... Like
you think the show is 45 minutes
or whatever. I mean, it's with commercials like 42, they're going to spend 41 minutes setting up all this new storyline for the second half of the season, and then Tony's going to roll in at the very end of it, I think.
I mean, it will definitely be on the next time, but I don't think it'll be.
There's no way they're going to do the Tony reveal on a next time. That'd be some bullshit if they did that.
They might hint at it, but they're not going to do
it. They've already showed it in the commercial.
There's no way they're going to do that next time.
Like, they shouldn't put in the next time, but that doesn't mean they won't, because they're just if you're a TV marketing person, you're just like, I just need to make sure someone watches the next episode.
That's why you put in the cliffhanger.
That's why you bring Tony in episode one.
But no, they didn't know this show was going to be so bad until, like, during episode five, they're like telling the writers, you got to wrap all these storylines. I'm on the phone with some other people to bring into the show.
You're trying to get Jack Bauer back.
I'm on the phone Kiefer. With President Kirkman.
Kiefer, you got to save us.
David Palmer, please come back.
Oh, man.
All right. I got an insane Tony watch idea. You know when we're going to see Tony? 9 months from now. Basically, for the finale on episode 12, they're going to write an insane musical number, and it's going to get nominated for a Tony.
Oh, man.
Did not see that
one
coming.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That was a better plot twist than we've gotten in the season so far.
Man, I hope this show doesn't go for another 9 months, though.
Right. No, that's just when the Tonys
are. That's when the Tonys are.
Are we going to have the Tony before or after the time jump?
Tony's gonna be. Oh, I'm catching myself.
What if now is?
So
the
I was
time
gonna
jump?
Say Tony's was gonna be before the time jump, but I think that now could be a good time for a time jump.
Could be.
I don't think so. I mean, they gotta immediately follow up this Eric. Like,
I guess the terrorist. I guess now they have the terrorist hostage situation. Yeah,
and like the wife's been captured. Like. You can have like a couple hours. Isn't that,
so,
like, not a long time jump.
I've got a question that we didn't talk about a second ago. So, like, many episodes ago, I don't know if it was many episodes ago, whenever that dude got shot, like the terrorist guy just got like shot in the head or whatever.
By Ben Khalid?
By Ben Khalid. Yeah, exactly.
That was last episode.
Yeah. Whenever that happened, wasn't it over like an argument about like, hey, either we do the whole attack or we do none of it because it's not going to be impactful if we don't do all of it?
He was shot because he activated the cell.
Oh, was it that guy that activated the cell?
That guy activated insanity high school.
So I thought that Ben Khalid still activated the thing, and like, no. I was just super okay.
That's why he got whacked.
That makes more sense.
I also gotta say they really botched the real time part last week when they're like, the code's gone out. Can you recall it? No, too late. It's been acknowledged. And then it cuts to Insanity High School when he's getting the code and acknowledging it. It's like, no, that doesn't line up.
They should have split screened it.
They could have done that. I think it's like, they're like, oh, it's the awesome reveal. Insanity High School is the sleeper cell. But we already knew that. So I think they could have done it in a much better way.
Yeah, it's not like we had multiple sleeper cells we were following.
Yeah.
That would have been great if it was a different sleeper cell.
That would be a great twist.
Different sleeper cell would have been a great
like,
twist.
That would mean we would keep Insanity High School the entire season.
Yeah. What if it just happened that the other sleeper cell was just some... going on my other idea, like... What if it just happened that the sleeper cell was just some other show you've been watching that you didn't know was related to 24 at all?
It's Designated Survivor.
It's just some other...
President Tom Kirkman is the other sleeper cell.
Oh, my God. It'd be way too crazy.
Have we done Kill of the Week yet?
No, that's next.
Okay.
I would like to talk about Harrison's point real quick.
Yeah. Go for it.
There used to be a show on Fox called Fringe.
I know of this show.
So good.
There are some mysterious characters on this show whose names I can't remember.
The Observers?
The Observers. They're these really pale, bald dudes, mm-hmm. and they would randomly show up on other Fox shows during the week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, they would just randomly have them at, like, NASCAR races and stuff.
What?
It's a great little Easter egg.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So, you know, they could have done that, but no.
I mean,
so they should have Tony on every show.
I like the idea that, like, some show has been running for, like, you know, two or three seasons, like, just so that it could, like, just make an entrance into the season of 24 Legacy.
So one thing about Tony, though, is why do you think they need to bring Tony out? Do you think that the terrorists get all the codes and they need Tony to go in and infiltrate the terrorist group. Like, what is the reason to bring Tony Almeida out of jail for this at all?
Well, I think it's if he is in, if he's still in jail and they're, and they choose to bring him out because it's like, this is the only guy who knows. It's, they find out he has some connection to some guy who knows some guy who can get to Ben Khalid. That's how that happens. But if he's already broken out, then he could already be in connection. Like, it could happen just like Eric, and just when he's showing up with Andy, runs into Tony, who just happens to be hanging out there or
from
something.
From the Super Bowl commercial, it seemed like they were getting him out for this season, like, to do something.
So do we think when he gets out, he's going to be a good guy or a bad guy, though? Like, is he going to be, like broken out to help CTU, like, get to somebody? Or is it just going to turn out that he's, like the big bad terrorist?
I think he's going to be let out and then, like, suicide squatted. Like,
Tony's always been the good guy.
Even when he was the bad guy?
Even then.
I see.
I feel like, you know, maybe Tony tries to get redemption, but then he eventually betrays them by the end of the season.
What was Tony's status when he was put in jail? Like, what happened
wasn't
to put him
dead?
In jail?
Well, he was dead, and then he wasn't dead, and then he was put in jail. Okay. So, the way I remember it is, he was trying to get Jack to help him take out some of the people involved with killing David Palmer and Tony's wife. And Jack was just like, no, you've gone too far this time. It's not okay. And Tony had been involved like a lot of bad things, but it was like, for him, was an ends justifies the means kind of thing.
Gotcha. So potentially going to jail as a quasi good guy.
So he's,
who had done some bad things.
He's done a lot of bad things, but he thinks he's a good guy.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So, kill of the week.
So, Screwdriver.
Definitely Professor Insanity. Yeah.
It's, yeah, not even close. Like, the only other contender is Amira just blowing up like 100 people plus on the bridge. So Amira gets kill of the week for sure.
I think that I guess
there was also the machine gun guy.
Machine gun guy was pretty good. I thought that the cop on the bridge would have had a shot at it if she'd actually been dead.
Yeah, but for once, it looked like someone was dead, and they actually told us they weren't dead before the end of the episode.
Right.
So we know not to give Kill of the Week to
not to him.
She was certainly dying, though. Like, given some time and not an explosive, she would have died.
But
right?
who killed her? Was it the cop or was it herself?
She killed herself, yeah.
Yeah. But that being said, it was definitely Amira killing Mr. Insanity. There's no doubt.
I mean,
it's got to be.
Any other week, it might have been just Amira blowing up all those people on the bridge.
Any other week, it might have been the guy jumping out of the van with the machine gun and taking out Isaac's crew.
I think that that's the silver medal this week. I think it's got to be.
Undoubtedly.
No, I think Amira gets the gold and the silver medal, and then that guy gets the bronze medal.
Ooh,
and
I don't know.
Poor Mr. Insanity on killing Hassan doesn't make the cut.
That dude hopping out of the back of that van was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in this show.
So like, good.
It was so telegraphed, though.
No, it was just so good, though.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we can agree on the kill of the week, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Mr. Professor Insanity.
R.I.P.
All right.
What are we going to do now?
We'll have to see what the new plot lines are. But
can we like write some Insanity High School fan fiction?
Please write some Insanity High School fan fiction and read them on this podcast.
Okay.
I expect that, and so do our listeners, Max.
It's going to happen. It's going to be really high quality, too.
Like, do you write a prequel? Or do you, like, just, you know, assume they didn't all just die?
No. Like, one of them comes back from the future through a time machine and tells them, no.
So they're not dead.
Tells Amira, no, you're better than this.
All right. You flesh that one out.
Yep.
Is Tony at the high school in your fan fiction? Do we have like assistant teacher Tony?
Tony's the janitor.
In the janitor. Future, all
Jack
people
Bauer's
are Tony.
The president, the principal. Sorry,
Principal Jack Bauer.
Principal Jack Bauer.
No, that's the other show. Designated Survivor.
Yeah.
Has that ended yet?
No,
it's coming back
it's
soon.
Like on a mid-season break.
It's coming back soon, though, right?
I think so.
Maybe like this week. I don't know.
I think I saw a commercial. It's this week.
What's better, Designated Survivor or 24 Legacy?
Ooh.
Designated Survivor.
So. I think if you'd asked me last week, it would have been clear-cut Designated Survivor, but I kind of like this week's episode.
This week's episode was definitely solid.
Yep. Comes back this week.
I think they're both not that good.
I think, yeah. That's
I mean, if I'm comparing that's the real answer. Like, but side by side, Designated Survivor just has a much higher budget and better writers. And I think 24 just is overplayed and overdone at this point. Like, it's the same plot lines from previous seasons of 24, just with, like, worse acting and worse budget.
Yep.
Should I feel bad I've seen 6 episodes of 24 Legacy and still haven't watched any of The Young Pope?
I haven't watched any episodes of The Young Pope, so.
I watched one.
I'm about halfway through Young Pope.
How was it?
Halfway through, it's good. I mean, like, it's definitely a pretty tough series show to get through, but, like, cinematography is great. It's a really gorgeous looking show. The wardrobe stuff's all really cool. You know,
not
I mean,
like 24 Legacy.
Not like 24 Legacy is not a great looking show. Young Pope.
I don't understand what Fox is doing. This is like one of this was
not spending very much money on the
show. One of their titular shows that like got them through the 2000s, and now they're just like, let's bring it back, but give them like, you know, no money, essentially. And there's only 12 episodes, so like, why can't you give them enough money to shoot like a 12 episode show? It's not like you're trying to commit to a whole 24 episode season.
It definitely feels low budget.
I mean, last season was also low budget, and you still had Jack Bauer in it.
But like, last season was lower budget, but they also had Kiefer. They had they were filming in London. They had Kat Stark. They had some decent expenditures.
Sure,
last
yeah, they tried.
The CG this season has been abysmal.
Oh yes,
like it's like they got an intern to do it. Like it just looks so bad. It's like somebody watched a YouTube video and like, this is our CG. Looks like an explosion on a bridge.
They got a high school chemistry teacher to do the CG.
Look, yeah, they just put this helicopter in this scene.
It's like, really bad.
It's just so bad.
It's terrible.
Like, we need this phone screen CG'd. Well, here's some plane. It looks terrible. And you're like, can't you add some shadows to it, please? Like, don't.
Yeah.
Got any plugs, Rob?
Got nothing.
Harrison?
I'm on Twitter at Harrison Hoffman.
You can follow me on Twitter at the Chris Lorenz. You can follow us on Twitter at the DPPL. You can find us on Facebook.com/the DPPL. You can email us questions at thedppl@gmail.com. Max, you want to send us off?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RealPotusSteph. this has been the David Palmer Presidential Library. Thank you for listening. RIP DP.
Adios.
Adios.